Because we have Derek Waters on the line here from Drunk History, which, if it's not your favorite show on television, should be. Great show, where they take some of the most momentous events in American history and portray them with a drunken narrator and act it out by people you love to see doing it. So it's just about perfect. And Derek Waters, is the host of that, and he's also acting in many of them. He's on with us right now. Hey, Derek, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. How about yourself?
Good. You haven't started tippling yet, have you? Are you a drinker yourself?
I only drink when I'm at work. only when I get paid, I'll drink.
Yeah.
I naturally sound drunk. I naturally look drunk.
You do.
So.
And you're very good at working with drunk people. I mean, that's a real skill a lot of people don't have.
It's a very it's patient.
So what?
It's patient. It's much like a lion tamer.
Oh. And you're also enabling them, but for once it's a good enabling of a drunk person. You get them drunk, and then who picks which people do the narrations on these events?
Me. I do.
You do? So do you know all these people? Who are they?
They're people either I know in the community, in the comedy community, or that I've heard that are funny. Mm-hmm. And not just because they're funny, I pick them because comedians just know how to tell a beginning, middle, and end of a story. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people that aren't performers, it's very hard to tell a story. So, and especially intoxicated.
Yes.
So... And they look at the story, and then they try to remember the story.
Yeah, and are they schooled in this first, or do they happen to have these particular passions, such as, you know, the Nellie Bly story?
JD didn't know of Nellie Bly, but he loved the story. Like, I give them a couple of choices of what stories, like, we're interested in doing.
Yeah.
Some of them already know about it. Some of them come to me with, like, oh, I got to tell you the story. And if we just go based off of that. But they have to be passionate about the story or the show wouldn't be interesting.
Yeah. And you know, Laura Dern in that, that was, like, I think maybe my favorite one so far.
Really?
Yes.
Have you heard of Nellie Bly?
No, never heard of Nellie, but I've heard of Laura Dern. But I thought she was so great in that. And it was actually quite sympathetic, you know, and besides being drunk, told by a drunk, you know.
Well, she wasn't drunk.
No, but I mean, it was a tale told by a drunken fool, basically. But it was
really
it was a good story. And Laura Dern actually brought it to life under the conditions that, you know, this woman who was sent to a mental hospital. But she did it to expose what was going on in those hospitals. This is back in Pulitzer?
Late 1888, Joseph Pulitzer.
Yeah, and he funded this whole thing. And who played Pulitzer in it?
That was Matt Walsh.
Yeah, Matt Walsh, of course, from Veep.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's great. And he was perfect in that. But that was such a good one. But yeah, we have a little. Can we play this little? We have just a little clip here of this is the Lincoln one. Would you mind if we play that just to get people?
Of course. Okay. No, thank you.
Yeah, give people a taste.
And from this guy Westinghouse, like, gave him money to start like working on.
Wrong one. That was AC/DC.
This idea of alternating current.
Tesla.
Yeah, Tesla.
So Edison didn't like the idea of alternating current because he owned all the patents on direct current.
That's okay.
Alternating current. What?
No, you can play that one. That's fine. That was also interesting.
As the...
Or not. We have a drunken engineer.
Abraham Lincoln, I am Frederick Douglass. I am a former slave who... And he's like, shh, I get it. I know. I know who you are. It's been explained to me. I've been following your career forever. Be quiet. I'm into it. Let's talk.
That's
I'll do
Lincoln.
More about him, but I will lay down. My legs are showing. I wanted to lose weight before this. Wait, don't show. It's too white. But the thing about Richard Dreyfuss, what is his name? Frederick Douglass. I knew it was something similar. The thing about Frederick Douglass they were good friends. And he and Frederick Douglass remained an advisor to President Clinton for years. And word gets back to him like, Abraham Lincoln is dead. Why do I feel like my... I didn't take my pants off or anything, did I? Because I feel like I don't have pants on. Oh, because I'm in a dress. But there wasn't a word to take my pants off. Okay, good.
And from this guy Westinghouse.
Like, okay, no, we'll save Westinghouse for another time. So that was and who was the woman doing the narration?
That was Jen Kirkman.
Jen Kirkman, yeah.
She is the queen of drunk history.
Yeah, she's been on a couple of different ones, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the thing...
she's in the season finale this year, which is about all first ladies.
Okay, about the first ladies?
First ladies, yeah.
Okay. And she... the thing about her, did I take my pants off? Is there a subtext here that we didn't quite get? Because that sort of alarmed me. So she thought she had pants on.
Did I take my pants off? No, she realized that she had a dress on.
Yeah, she forgot she had a dress on. Okay, that's understandable. Under the conditions. Now, have you had some where your narrator was so drunk you couldn't get a story out of it?
Oh, yeah. Many times. One jumps out that we just had to redo. We had to come back to her house. It was a different girl. But she got way too drunk, put on a bathing suit, and wanted to do the rest in the bathtub in her bathing suit.
Yeah.
I said, there's a fine line between funny and sad, and this is just sad.
It's not such a fine line either, I don't think, really.
Mm-mm.
No. But actually, you were in a bathtub with a guy on another one I saw recently.
Right.
So where's the fine line there, mister?
Well, I wasn't in a bikini. There's something different about a drunk girl and a drunk guy.
I know.
I feel bad for a drunk girl more than I do a drunk guy.
That's true. But it was still disturbing because this guy wanted to take a bath with you right in the middle of I forget what story that was.
Nellie Bly.
Oh, that was still Nellie Bly? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's what she had to do.
Yeah. And are there parts of that we didn't get to see?
Oh, yeah. The parts you'll never see.
Well, that's
no,
a good thing.
No, but it's a thing that you film a drunk person for 5 to 6 hours. There's going to be a lot of stuff that you got to throw away.
Yeah.
And as my grandfather used to say, keep a smile on your face and your big mouth shut.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I just try to do that. And
yeah.
Do the best I can, taming these lions.
Yeah. How drunk are you right now? I don't care. This is not just, is this just your personality? It sort of goes like this?
Yeah, it's the most common thing people have always accused me of.
Yeah. So you were perfect for this show. They said Derek Waters immediately, right?
I created it. It was my idea.
Oh, so. You did? Okay. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. It's the most reprehensible thing that turns out to be brilliant that I've ever heard of.
I don't know what that means, but I'll take brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, the idea of getting people drunk and then having them do anything is reprehensible, but it makes the best television I've ever seen. Plus, the actors, I mean, people must be falling all over themselves to play these parts.
I've been very lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah. This week's going to be Baltimore, which I'm really excited. Charlie Day from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia will be in there.
Yeah.
Jesse Plemons from Breaking Bad. Martin Starr.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, the whole season, Courtney Cox is in one of them.
Yeah.
We've been very lucky with people that want to come in and move their lips to drunk people.
Yeah. And Will Ferrell's been in, and Kristen Wiig played
that's right.
Patty Hearst. That was also my favorite. I guess I have several favorites here. That was amazing.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, she was amazing as Patty Hearst. It was so perfect.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with Kristen Wiig.
No, and the whole setup was just ideal for her. And, I mean, also, you had, like, possibly the only funny Haymarket riot ever.
Yeah, I think, well, I don't, what riot was funny?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you can make a riot, attempt to make a riot funny.
Yeah, the only one ever shown on television that was actually an amusing riot. But I always think, like, Studs Terkel, I used to know a little bit, was always talking about the Haymarket riot, you know, like turning point in labor history, among other things. And I was glad he wasn't here to see it. He would have been really seriously distressed at that. But I liked it. I like it.
Do you
hear from any of, like, historians or the principals? I guess you wouldn't hear from Lincoln so much, but...
Lincoln sends me a text every once in a while.
Yeah, yeah. But are some people...
I've stayed in touch with Why I Love History, my history teacher, and he was my favorite teacher because he didn't teach, he talked to you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I learned a lot from him, and he's been very complimentary of making history fun.
Yeah.
You know, which, let's be honest, in school history is pretty boring.
Yeah.
So.
Not when they're drunk, though.
Yeah. Well, it just distracts you. But all the, for being drunk, all the things they do say, the facts and the events are 100% true.
100% true.
The dialogue is obviously not.
Yeah.
But the events and the dates are all true.
Yeah. Do you think there's any tendency that would people who make history, for them to want to be drunk now before they actually do certain history-making events?
Do you think what? Say that again?
Oh, never mind. Not a real question.
I'm guessing what you meant is, do you think I'm indulging, like, people that now are going to want to drink?
Yeah, like history makers say, I got to have really, like, 6 or 7 vodkas, and I'm going to make history.
They learned anything in the show besides the story you'll see at the end, they don't look too good.
Yeah.
You know, they don't end well.
No.
Drinking never ends well. And every single morning after we film, I get an email from the narrator apologizing. I'm so sorry, I didn't tell the story. I'm so sorry. Like, I'll do it again. Like, I didn't do it. Which brings us back to what we should always remember.
Yes.
Alcohol is a poison.
It's a poison. But it's been good for you. You know, it's a poison that's good for you.
Oh, I mean, without it, we have no career.
Yeah, no career. And are you appearing in more of them than you originally? Because I seem to see you in all that you're turning up. Usually bit parts, though. Small parts.
Yeah, well, I'm being the host. I can't be in, I don't want to be in everything.
No.
And, and the Baltimore one, I'm hardly in because I directed that one.
Oh, that's your hometown, right? Baltimore's your hometown?
That is my hometown.
Yeah, cool.
But I've been to Wisconsin many times. Madison, I love.
Yeah, yeah, and we love you.
I'm a big Chris Farley fan.
Chris Farley, yeah, right. He's right from my neighborhood. Because I saw you as Ben Franklin's friend. So weren't you Ben Franklin's friend in that one? Jack Black.
Yeah, cheated on my wife. Yeah.
How did that work exactly, cheating on your wife and being Ben Franklin's friend?
Well, it's Jack Black.
Yeah.
He was, Jack Black's the one that wanted to continue it. He saw the Michael Cera one and said, I want to be Ben Franklin. So that sort of kicked everything in gear.
Mm-hmm.
But there was never a plan of it becoming a show.
No.
Comedy Central was very, very nice and said, we want to make it a show and keep the same vibe. And
yeah.
They have, and they've been very good to us.
Yeah, casting has been good. I love Danny McBride as Washington. That is classic casting.
Oh, no, thank you. He can't go wrong with him either.
I will always look at Danny McBride and think of Washington from now on, and that's pretty amazing.
If you can look at Danny McBride and watch, that's pretty crazy. Might be drunk.
Yeah, I might be. I might be. Well, yeah. Well, and Johnny Knox as Johnny Cash, that was brilliant.
Yeah. And he'll be back. Johnny Knoxville was so good, and he'll be back in 2 more episodes playing Preston Brooks in The Caning of Charles Sumner.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's that story.
Okay. And I like that music one. That was just a recent one with Chris Christopherson.
Mm-hmm.
From Ashtrays to Windshield Wipers Slapping Time. That was right.
I love those two.
Yeah. Who played Kris Kristofferson on that?
His name is John Daly.
Yeah.
He's a comedian.
Yeah.
And he's great.
Yeah, that was terrific. And it seemed pretty authentic, too, actually. Especially the helicopter landing on Johnny
Cash's. Yeah, it looked like a real helicopter, right? Your audience could see it was just a toy helicopter.
Yeah, the best drunken effects you could imagine for that. And my other my other favorite, the whole Statue of Liberty thing, where the French tried to give us the Statue of Liberty and we wouldn't take it. It was a wonderful story.
No, we wouldn't accept a gift. That's the way they keep stressing. I know, you don't understand, I'm giving you a gift.
And they couldn't get Congress to take it because they were French. They didn't want anything from the French.
I can't repeat what they say, but they call the French a couple of things.
Yeah. Je ne sais quoi, something.
Right.
Yeah. And playing once again, that was is it Killiam?
Taron Killiam.
Yeah, Killiam. That's right.
From Saturday Night Live.
Saturday Night Live. He was great.
Yeah, he's one of my dear friends, and I think one of the funniest guys. Definitely the funniest guy on Saturday Night Live right now.
Yeah.
With Kyle Mooney, and he's great. I'm glad you like Joe so much.
I do. It's fabulous. And then I also like this guy. It was storytelling, that one about the Statue of Liberty and how the French wouldn't take it from him, and it was a gift. And then they finally took it, but then they didn't want to build a pedestal for it because I was asking too much. It was very funny. But the guy who was telling the story actually made a model of the Statue of Liberty out of Play-Doh while he was doing it. It was classic. And then you got him to eat the Play-Doh because you said you ate Play-Doh when you were a kid. This is talking to a drunk guy.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I loved, mom Play-Doh, not like the corporate Play-Doh they make now.
Yeah, no, right. So your mom made it. Yeah.
Like mom Play-Doh, like flour and oil, like coloring, you know?
Right, mom Play-Doh. I forgot about that. It was even possible. Well, that's
but
great.
Yeah, I used to eat paper. I used to eat paste. I was obsessed. I was just really hungry as a kid. They didn't feed me.
That was the only time I thought maybe you went a little far in handling it. We actually got him to eat the Play-Doh, mom's or otherwise.
Well, it's all real.
Yeah.
I would have done that without the camera.
Yeah. The other times you've been you've been enabling and reassuring and so forth, but you haven't abused your position.
So until then?
Until you made him eat the Play-Doh. I thought that was going a little far.
Not taking a bath?
Well, I don't, that's your business.
Yeah, all right. Well, yeah. I appreciate the critique.
Yeah.
Also, you know, that's the same narrator as Jack Black. I don't know if you knew that.
What?
That's the same narrator as the guy from the Jack Black one.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Oh, okay, cool. Cool. Yeah, he's good. And who is that?
Eric Falconer.
He's very good.
Yeah.
And a very sincere guy. Very sincere.
Very sincere. Yeah. He's a daddy.
Well, that explains it then.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, Derek, I'll let you go here because I know you got a whole day ahead of you and you're probably, are you getting ready for, you're all done filming and everything, right, for this year?
We're just editing now. We have two more episodes to edit. There's 10 this season.
Yeah, excellent. Well, it's a pleasure talking to you, Derek, and congratulations on a tremendous drunk success.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Derek Waters, ladies and gentlemen. Drunk history.